This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Welcome to House Commerce and Energy Committee. Brief reminder to those that are here today, turn your cell phones off. And if you've got a computer, laptop, anything that makes noise, turn the sound down on it so we don't distract the testimony. We will soon have the roll call. Then after that, that'll be followed by Representative Willardson's decision on the minutes, and that'll be seconded by a second by Arch Beal. So let's get started with the roll call.
Representatives Beal.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Lake. McCleary.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Ms. Gimmons.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Sullivan.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Zickmund.
Here.
Gosch. Rounds.
Here. We do have a quorum.
Yes, sir.
And I know I saw Representative Gosch in the hallway.
Okay.
With that, Representative Willardson.
Willardson moves to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
Second. Representative Beal. Second. Motion by Representative Willardson to pass the minutes. That's seconded by Representative Beal. Any discussion on the minutes? I do know that I'm going to ask to comment after the meeting when we moved the bill that we were debating last Wednesday to Judiciary Committee, we had to add a word in that we are recommending referral to Judiciary, and that decision is really up to the Speaker. He wanted the decision on that, so we sent it through him. And so that is in the minutes, as opposed, I think the motion might have been made. I can't remember the motion word for word if somebody wants to review the tape. But I think the motion was to refer it to the Committee on Judiciary. But the Speaker wanted to make that decision, and that motion was made on the floor of the House, if you remember. But I reflected the minutes to say that we recommended. Is there a question on that recommendation that I made or that change I made?
So moved.
That's in the minutes that way, I believe. Representative Willardson.
Mr. Chair, it does say refer House Bill 1019 to Judiciary in the minutes.
And, okay.
And that is correct. Based on our supervisor, it automatically goes to him as a recommendation.
And the Speaker wanted it to say recommend, but I think LRC will outrank in that because it still went through him. So the minutes should be correct. With that, is there any other comments or questions on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of the approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. For those that are going to testify today, please sign in. If you got anything to distribute to the committee, need anything, any errands run, we've got two pages here today. They're finishing their first week up here. If you could, why don't you both come on up to the microphone, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what your plans are.
I am Jalen Fast, a senior at Roosevelt High School in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My plan is to go to Texas Christian University for a major in political science and then hopefully law school after.
My name is Bradenbury. I'm from Watertown. I plan to major in chemistry and minor in poli-sci, and I'm deciding between SDSU and USD.
Can you throw Black Hills in there too? Kind of. Yeah. It's good to have you guys here, and thank you for the service you provide. And for the members, Representative Lake will have to find out on the announcement on the floor today, but we're going to move House Bill 1022 again. We're going to move it to next Wednesday. I'm moving it to Wednesday. I think it'll be ready to be heard then. The reason why we're moving it to Wednesday is that you folks have done a lot of good work in the committee here the past 2 weeks. I don't think we're not going to have a meeting Monday morning. So you can sleep in, take your time getting back, whatever the case may be. I want to be out of here by 11 to give you guys some time that have bills to get up to the front desk. We can get that done. So with that, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to move Senate Bill 17 to the top of the agenda. And with that, we will take up Senate Bill 17. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding certain indemnity bonds that the Public Utilities Commission may require. With that, I'll ask for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 17.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Public Utilities Commissioner, and this morning I am going to respectfully ask you to table Senate Bill 17. Just a little bit of background. The Senate committee significantly amended Senate Bill 17. We thought at the time it was going to be okay, but it, in further conversations, we realized it's created some issues for the townships. That was not our intention. We don't want to create any problems for them. Looking back at our original language, at this point, we're not sure that was even exactly what we wanted to do. And so we think at this point the best thing is to table the bill, and we'll take further look at it another year.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. So with that, you become an opponent to Senate Bill 17?
I think that's the way it works, yes.
Well, are there any proponents, additional proponents to Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, are there any opponents? And I'll allow opponents to the tabling motion. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, Representative Archbeal, do you have a motion? We have a motion by Representative Archbeal to table Senate Bill 17, and that is seconded by Representative Johnson. Being a tabling motion, there's no discussion. With that, this is final action, so it'll be a roll call vote. All those in favor of tabling Senate Bill 17 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Lake. Excused. McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead. Ms. Gimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye, I'm sorry.
Okay. Gosh.
Yeah.
Round. Now what do I do? You're going to hang out for a while?
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye. Have an affirmative vote of the committee. Senate Bill 17 will be laid on the table. And before we go any farther, are there any personal privileges today?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is just, it's a surprise. If everybody looks in the back, it says happy birthday, and I appreciate that. I'm really happy that I made it another year. So, whoever did that, Representative Rounds, did you do that?
Huh?
Representative Beal, did you do that?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. She did it?
Well, I know who did it. We know who did it, but we're not going to tell you.
Anyway, there are cookies down there in the House lobby, so anybody's welcome to them. Please eat, take them. You know, it's my treat, and good to be 1 year older, I think. So, thank you.
Happy birthday, Representative Zickman. We'll have to put a note on this. Next year, it's probably on a weekend, though, so we won't see you. Well, happy birthday, and thank you for the cookies, although there aren't enough. They're going pretty fast, so hurry up. Representative Gosch.
Mr. Chair, if we're going to move around that monstrosity of a Packers Day, I think we could probably move around his birthday. It'd be okay.
It is a monstrosity. Thank you for the comments. Okay, let's get done today. We've got one more bill on the agenda. This bill is Senate Bill 14. This is an act to define solar energy facilities and to establish certain provisions regarding solar energy permits. Chair will ask for proponent's testimony on Senate Bill 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Nelson, Public Utilities Commissioner. This bill comes to you with unanimous support of your three Public Utilities Commissioners. What this bill does is provides a unique definition of solar energy facility. And just to be clear, these are not the panels that are on somebody's rooftop, but these are facilities that are in excess of 100 megawatts. These are the large utility scale solar fields that we are defining here. Today, under current law, any of those large facilities fit underneath an omnibus definition of energy conversion facility. But we're starting to see some of this large-scale solar development in South Dakota, and we think it's important that it have its own unique definition in statute. Now, by creating this definition, we simultaneously roll back two regulatory issues that these farms would have had to endure if they were left under the energy conversion facility definition. And I want to explain those to you. First, as an energy conversion facility, the permit application for any of these facilities would have to include the composition of a local review committee that would have to put together a report on the potential impact of this facility. We don't think that's needed for a solar facility, and so by creating this own unique definition, we no longer need to put together that local review committee, the consultant involved in the report, and all of that. Secondly, energy conversion facilities require that the developer notify the PUC 6 months before they actually file the permit application. We don't think that's necessary for a solar energy facility either. And so that would no longer apply and in essence would shorten the permitting time frame by 6 months. And so not only does this provide good transparency of definition in our statute so that anybody that's looking for solar, they can find it. And then secondly, we've rolled back those two regulatory burdens, which we think will be positive. With that, Mr. Chairman, very straightforward bill, and be happy to answer questions when appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 14? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 14? Opponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bill Van Camp. I'm an attorney here in Pierre and a registered lobbyist for NextEra. As I've told some on the committee, my opposition to this bill is based in large part on the question of whether or not we can do something. Should we first examine whether or not we should? Solar is a very different form of energy production than what is currently regulated by the commission. I'm not arguing what's currently in the statutes. What my argument is that we haven't sat down and thought about what we should be doing vis-a-vis solar power. Solar doesn't emit anything. Can you see it? Maybe from an airplane. Should we be regulating it like a wind farm? Should we be regulating it like a coal-fired plant? Should we be regulating it like a gas plant? I don't know the answer to that. But I don't think we should just, as a matter of course, throw it into the same regulatory structure and environment. And so I don't know if now is the time to have that conversation. I don't think it is. It's unlimited. Bills are due today. Anybody have time to work on this? Not me. So what do we do? I think the commission needs to spend a little bit of time and a little bit of thought and maybe involve some of the industry that is developing large-scale solar. There's not a current plant in South Dakota. I know there's one, I believe, in Oglala, Lakota County, that at least has petitioned the commission for some authority. But at some point, as technology increases and as the cost of the production of these types of projects goes down, you will see that development even in a gloomy state like South Dakota. And so what should we be doing as a state? Not simply what should the PUC be doing, because as the commissioners have testified already this year, they do what this body tells them. What should we, the people, be doing as a state in looking at the development and deployment of these technologies in South Dakota? You know, if they come here, they produce clean energy, they pay taxes, they work out an agreement with an existing landowner, they comply with any zoning and regulatory, or zoning, I should say, and county planning issues, what is the role for the PUC? Okay, I don't think we should knee-jerk and just automatically assume that we should regulate these types of projects the same as we do a coal-fired plant. I think it needs to be a deeper dive, a longer discussion, and for that reason, I'd like to oppose the bill although tepidly so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaneki. Or excuse me, Van Camp. Kaneki's coming up. I was looking at him getting up. Sorry. Next opponent.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name actually is Brett Kaneki. I'm a lawyer here in Pierre, and I represent Avangrid Renewables. I'm thrown off my game. I'm trying to figure out who got slighted in that, and that's an open question. But Mr. Van Camp and I are friends, and we'll work that out. I'm up here opposing this bill as well for a lot of the same reasons Mr. Van Camp did. We seem to be regulating solar energy just because it does the same thing as a coal-fired plant or a gas plant or a wind farm because it creates electricity. What we ought to be looking at is what are the effects of these things on the surrounding landowners and the surrounding people who host these things in their community, and whether regulation at the state is appropriate for that. There's a small solar farm out at the airport here. You can see it if you drive out there. If you go behind Menards, there's a street called Airport Road, and you can see the solar farm on the right inside the airport boundary, and the Menards is just to the left if you're headed north on that street. The Menards facility is larger in all respects. It does more. It creates more noise. It creates more emissions and was permitted by the city of Pierre. Does the solar farm need that? It's certainly smaller than the 100 megawatts that Commissioner Nelson told you. But yet, it draws the distinction. Do we have to regulate that at the state level? I would submit to you that the counties are doing just fine. Counties are regulating installations of this size all over the state. They're having the local discussions amongst local people about what's appropriate for our community. And what we tend to do then is replow the same ground at the Public Utilities Commission on all these dockets. And so I'm up here saying that I think we should tap the brakes on this bill. I don't think we should entrench a solar definition in code and just go down that path towards more regulation. I don't think any of you got elected to come up here and regulate more. I suspect it was the other way around. And this bill, well, it's arguable that it is lessening regulation. I would submit to you that what we really should do is look for regulation where it's right. And I think that's probably at the local level on this. This bill was dropped in by the PUC without discussion with me, or I don't know who they discussed the bill with. And I think that's unfortunate. We ought to have those conversations and bring you bills that have been thought out by stakeholders. The counties aren't up here this morning asking to regulate this. I don't know if they've thought about this at all, and that's a question that ought to be asked probably in the off season before we come up here. If this bill passes, is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. I'm not going to tell you that. But what I am saying is, let's think about what's the right style of regulation for, just because it does the same thing, creates electricity, do we have to regulate it the same way we regulate those other things? I think we should be thoughtful about that before we burden industry and, frankly, burden communities with more regulation. So that's my pitch this morning. I would hope you'd send this bill to the 41st day, and I'm certainly willing to talk about this further with stakeholders. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad to talk about this because projects have to be accepted into the communities where they're looking to go. Projects, this, you can't, I can't cite, I'll back up from that. Projects want to go where they're wanted, and we need to have those conversations in localities, and I'm not sure having the PUC in that discussion is helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaneki. Mr. Van Camp, thank you for your testimony, too. I apologize when he stood up. I got a little remembering problem. Yeah. Any other opponents? Are there any other opponents? See, none. Mr. Nelson, do you want a minute or two for a rebuttal?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to begin by agreeing with Mr. Van Camp and Mr. Kaneki that there's going to be a time in the future when we need to take a holistic look at what is the appropriate level of regulation for solar energy facilities. I absolutely agree with that. But I want you to understand where we are today. Under current law, these facilities are regulated and permitted exactly like a coal-fired power plant. That's the definition that they fall under today, energy conversion facility. What the PUC is asking and are telling you is there are some parts of that regulatory regime that we don't think we need today. And those are the two things I talked about, that local review committee and its report and that advanced six-month notice. And so we're asking in this bill to roll back those regulatory requirements because we think we can do that today. We're comfortable with that. And so any indication that this bill is more regulation, it's not. It's pulling back two requirements that are absolutely in place today. Now, let me talk just a little bit about where the PUC is at in this today. As was mentioned, we have an application in front of us today for a large, very large solar energy facility in Ogallala, Lakota County, over 100 megawatts. Reference was made to the facility out here at the Pierre Airport. That's a 1 megawatt. What we're talking about in Ogallala, Lakota County is over 100 times bigger than that facility. We're talking 800 acres, a half a million solar panels. Okay? It's a big facility. Until the PUC goes through the process of permitting that facility, and we're in the middle of it right now, I don't think I can tell you specifically what the right level of regulation is going to be. I think we need to go through that process. But what we are comfortable with is rolling back these two requirements that I've talked about. Be happy to answer questions when appropriate. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Nelson. If I may, real quick, could you give me the statutes that deal with solar right now, today?
Well, essentially, they're
where,
the ones
where are
that
located
are
located in the chat in the statutes.
Absolutely. So, as you look at the bill, we're amending 49-41B-2, and if you look at sub 6, energy conversion facility, any new facility or expansion designed for generating electricity of 100 megawatts or more, that's where this falls under today. And so, what we're asking to do is to create a specific definition for these unique facilities.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other questions? Representative Weiss.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, question for Mr. Nelson. You said that you're trying to do away with the local review committees. Can you give me more information on what a local review committee is?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think if you think back to the purpose of the committee, if somebody's going to build a large coal-fired power plant in your community, one of the things you certainly want is what do the leaders within that community think about this particular facility and how it's going to impact the community. So by statute, this local review committee has representatives from county commissions, from townships, from schools, from tribes, from all those local entities that come together. They hire a consultant, and they are tasked with evaluating a lot of different things about how this facility might impact their larger community. And they have to then produce a report and submit that report to the Public Utilities Commission. Now, by doing away with this committee, that doesn't mean we're not looking at those issues. As we go through the permitting process, we're still going to look at those issues, but it's going to be the PUC asking those questions as opposed to requiring a committee be put together, consultant hired, and report generated.
Mr. Chair, follow-up. It sounds to me like you're taking the control away from the local communities, that you're making those decisions rather than getting the input directly from the county commissioners and such. Is that true?
Not true. It's going to come in a different format. With all of these permit application processes, local governments can certainly be involved in that and do, in fact, give us their input. What this is taking away is the mandate that they have to come together as a committee, that they have to put together a report, and that that report has to contain certain items. But they are certainly free to bring that information to us. And in fact, as part of these permit applications, we reach out to them and say, hey, you know, are there things that we need to be looking at as we go through the permitting process? So far as lessening of public input, not at all.
Follow up on that? Any further questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Commissioner Nelson. Can you give us a worst-case scenario of an industry, the solar industry, continuing on for the next 10 years, 15 years, unregulated by the measures in this bill?
Okay, so if this bill doesn't pass, these large solar facilities will remain under the definition of energy conversion facility. You talk about worst case scenario. Is there going to be any damage or harm? I don't think so. Again, the purpose of what we're looking for is transparency. We want, if somebody's interested in one of these facilities, we want them to be able to go to the statute and see, yeah, I'm interested in solar. Oh, here's a definition of solar energy facility, as opposed to trying to figure out, well, is it an energy conversion facility or where does it fit? We want a transparent definition. And by doing that, we can also roll back those two regulatory requirements, making it easier for these facilities to be permitted. And so is there going to be grave danger? No. But it will certainly make it easier to permit these facilities if this is passed.
Hello, Johnson, did that answer your question? Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one follow-up. So do you view yourself as protecting the industry more than harming the industry through this bill?
Well, this bill certainly would help the industry because you remove those two regulatory requirements. And we think we can do that without creating any harm to the locality where these facilities are going to be permitted. Certainly.
Additional questions, Representative Milstead.
Thank you. So I'm just wondering where this mandate is, and it kind of goes back to the comment the other gentleman made about that the counties are handling it.
So under this chapter, 49-41B, and this is the chapter that contains the requirement that before any of these large energy conversion facilities be sited, that they have to get a siting permit from the PUC. And that body of law has all of the requirements that a developer has to go through in order to get a permit from the PUC and the criteria that they have to meet. And this only contains a couple of those sections. There's a whole body of law that contain all of those different requirements. And again, what we're saying is if you create it its own unique definition, then two of those requirements go away. That's the sum total of what this does. They still have to meet all the rest of the requirements. They still have to file a permit application to get a site permit. They have to show us that this particular facility is not going to harm the health, safety, welfare, economy of the area. They still have to show all of that information in order to get the permit.
Representative Milstead, follow-up.
Thank you. I do have a follow-up. So this came from PUC. It wasn't that the counties were asking for this to reduce their load. Would that be correct?
That is correct. As our staff, and we work with this every day, and as they're, again, starting to work with these solar energy facilities, from a transparency perspective, our staff said, you know, we ought to have a definition in statute so that somebody that's doing solar can find it, that they know exactly what they fall underneath when they look at the statutes.
That answer your questions? Okay. Other questions over here? Representative Zickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, having gotten into solar on one of my houses that I built many years ago, I was one of the first ones in the city to have solar. And I had my vocational center that I was director of, we had one of our houses that we built at the solar system. And I think I got my question asked over here. But if we don't pass this, and number one, excuse me, did you have any input from any of the stakeholders when you put this bill together?
We did not. Again, this is based on the expertise of the commissioners and staff as we work with this on a daily basis. And frankly, I mean, I'm dumbfounded that the industry would not want to see these two rollbacks of these two particular burdens. I to me, that would seem entirely positive. And as I said at the beginning, at some point, once we get through one of these permit applications and understand exactly, you know, how that's going to work, I think we do need to take a holistic look at this. But this, I think, is a good interim step until we do that. And you know, we'll finish up that permit application this year, and perhaps next year's the time to do that holistic look.
I think that answers my question, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You're complete, no follow-up? Okay. Representative Willitson, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, it seems to me that the key here is the size, because we're talking about 100 megawatts or more. And if I were to want to develop a solar project that was 75 megawatts, none of this applies, correct?
Exactly, yeah. At some point in history, the legislature's made a determination that 100 megawatts is the tipping point for needing to get a state permit for any of these kind of energy conversion facilities. And we see developers making that decision all the time. There's several wind farms in the state where the developers have said, you know what, we're going to do 99 megawatts, we're fine with that, as opposed to wanting a larger farm and going through this process. And so that's a developer decision.
Representative Willitson, follow-up? Okay, thank you. Representative Johnson, you have another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify how you answered Representative Willitson's question, if someone is going to build a farm under 100 megawatts, there is no need for them to contact the state? There is no inspection process? There is no review by the state on that?
And this is subject to check. I believe they have to notify us that they're doing it, but they do not need to get a siting permit from the state. That is correct.
Do you have a follow-up? Okay, thank you. It might be back here. Yeah, the BRC. Okay. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Nelson. I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 14. Representative McCleary.
I move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative McCleary to pass on Senate Bill 14. That motion is seconded by Representative Gosch. Comments on that motion? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, and I've been waiting for this. I started discovering or kind of, not rebel-rousing, but bringing things to the forefront 3 years ago, I think, as Commissioner Nelson is very much aware. I went through the school and public lands with Commissioner Bruner. We looked at the statutes. Everything seemed to be fine there. And, you know, how do we then bring solar farms into the state? That's a good industry. How I started out is find me a map. And this is going to come to Commissioner Nelson. Find me a map where we have state land. Find me then in that map where we have three-phase lines, because you're going to need that. And then we focused on that because, in my opinion, it was great. Let's put a solar farm on state ground and recapture some of that funding and put it to the state general fund or whatever. So this, after 3 years, now we're finally, in my opinion, now we're getting to where we're getting this cleared up. We're getting ready for movement. And we can now progress onward. So thank you very much for bringing this, Commissioner. I fully agree, and we should pass this. Thank you.
Any further comments on the do-pass motion? Any further comments? Representative Weiss.
I'd like to bring an alternate motion. Move to the 41st day.
We have a substitute motion by Representative Weiss on deferral to the 41st legislative day. Is there a second? Hearing no second, the substitute motion dies for failure of a second. We're back to the original motion to pass on Senate Bill 14. Any further comments? Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I, too, think that this is probably a pretty good idea. I think we're rolling back a couple of regulations that are in place now that the PUC has testified are not necessary. And I think that while some of the objections raised made us all think, I think those discussions will take place in the future. And so I would like to see the committee pass this bill and send it on to the floor where we can have some more discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Willitson. Are there further discussions on the do-pass motion, Senate Bill 14?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the, one of my concerns is my follow-up to my previous question, and Chris, you answered that. I'm a firm believer in getting the stakeholders involved somewhere along the line. This is just too solar is just, and I'm a supporter of solar. It's just too important and too important to the state of South Dakota and the people out there. My concern is just that hopefully that you get the if this passes, et cetera, that you get those stakeholders together, meet with them. I know it's time, and I know you got staff that make those decisions and recommend, but you got the people out there that are stakeholders that need to be a part of this. And I'm a firm believer in that, so I hope you do that, Chris. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there further comments? Representative Weiss.
I like the idea of creating, changing the definition so we have it in a different statute. The part I'm having an issue with is I think that you really are removing local control when you get rid of the local review boards. I think that having them have to be involved makes the people in that area have, you know, actually have to look at it in their situation, and the people have more of an input into it. And I think anytime you start to take over large portions of land for anything, changing that the locals should be involved. I'm actually for most of this bill. If we could just get rid of removing that local review board, I could get 100% behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to echo what Representative Weiss just outlined in his concerns. There are a couple of things that I did not hear in the testimony today. One of them, and correct me if I'm wrong, I did not hear that the local review boards are doing a bad job. And the second thing is, I did not hear that the local review boards have asked the state for help. And if I am wrong about whether local review boards are doing a bad job, I would like to be corrected on that.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Are there further comments? Representative Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In my campaign literature, I said I'm in favor of less regulation. However, you know, this seems like it adds more regulation. However, there are a couple things that are going to disappear and a couple things that need to be the industry needs to be regulated. I think it's a good idea, and so I'd be for this. But I would strongly suggest that Mr. Nelson and the PUC gets together with some of the local people in the counties and in the other parts of the state and have an informative meeting with them so that they know what's going on for sure. And I think that a lot of people would be a lot happier if they all knew what was going on rather than have something sprung on them. And I think it's a good idea. So my comment is, I'm for this.
Before we go to further comments, I'm going to use a chairman privilege and ask Mr. Nelson to step up. I've heard the testimony and I've heard the questions and the comments being made. Where are we losing local control in this bill?
As I testified to Representative Weiss's question, I don't believe that we are. Representatives of local forms of government are always involved in these permitting processes, whether or not they are on the local review committee or not. What removing that requirement does is remove the mandate that those local officials have to come together, they have to form a committee, they have to do a report for the PUC. And if you're doing a large coal-fired power plant or even a nuclear power plant, not that we'd ever see that here, but if you're doing something large like that, then you're going to want that kind of report from a local review committee. But I think at this point we're comfortable that with a solar farm, I'm not sure that we need that level. But those local officials are always welcome to be part of our process.
Thank you, and I'm going to follow that up with a question. If there was going to be an 800-acre solar farm put up in a county, wouldn't there be a zoning board that would review Wouldn't there be something to come up with the county about something this size being used for a facility like that? I'm curious.
It all depends on the zoning ordinances of each individual county. If a county had zoning ordinances where they wanted to have that kind of control, the answer is yes. And if the county did not have those kind of zoning ordinances, the answer would be no. It's up to each individual county.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to have an opponent, if they want to come up and address the exact same questions. I want clarification before we vote on this. And this is the true Mr. Kaneki. Come on up. You heard my questions, and I want to give you the opportunity to also.
Let's go over them again. I want to make sure I got them.
Well, what I'm asking is, where are we taking away any local control on this issue? Number one, that's my question, is where in this bill are we taking that away from the county or the local board?
There's two forms of local control, I think, but perhaps three, that you'd want to talk about in this kind of a context. You've got the local review board that the PUC puts together, and that's a entity that I think then their work is funded by the applicant. The whole thing is funded by the applicant. There's no tax dollars used in this. The person applying for the permit pays. So that's why I think that's the case, subject to correction from the PUC. So that's an official group that's going to do its thing. Then you've got the county permits that you need to construct, such as conditional use permits. And that's why I said we're plowing the same ground on these dockets over and over again, is because the county goes through and gives you a conditional use permit, and then you go to the PUC and relitigate the same issues over and over again. That's part of my pitch this morning. Then the third way is that the county, if my recollection is correct, that chapter makes the county a party to the docket if they choose to be so. I think that's buried in there someplace. So you've kind of got three ways. And then if I understood Commissioner Nelson right, what he's saying is the PUC is also considering the input of the local governments during its process, which I would tell you that is the case. So if this was to take out that local review board, it takes out what I consider to be a formal look at the situation prior to when the application is filed, but it's leaving in place that conditional use permit that you'd get, like if you were going to build a tool shed or whatever else, you know, if you've got to wedge your way into the zoning laws of the county. And correctly, some counties don't have zoning. Counties that don't have zoning, then typically once they get wind of an interest from a company, will, like Hyde County, put a moratorium on wind applications until they could get a zoning ordinance in place, and then the applicant comes back and works through that process. So, helpful?
I believe so. Is it helpful to the committee? Committee has any questions, and I'm going to allow some additional questions before we move on with the motion. Seeing none, thank you. Representative, do you have a question?
I guess the question is that you're saying are we saying that a coal plant or any other, you know, of your, are, would not have to, would have, would still need that local review board, because they're more dangerous, than taking up, you know, when you got 800 acres tied up into one project, I understand it might not be as dangerous, but I think it has as much or a bigger effect on a county than, I mean, maybe two counties, if depending on where it sits, than a power plant that takes up very little room. I understand there's more EPA and stuff like that, regulations or water usage for a power plant of some sort, but I guess I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around how pulling 800 acres out, covering it with something, is less intrusive than a coal power plant.
Do you understand the question, and can you answer it?
I do, and I'm going to go, you know, the same distance afield, Representative Weiss. I appreciate the question because it is the same question I'm asking. Why is 100 megawatts right for each kind of facility? you picked 100 megawatts on the one end. Why is 100 megawatts for a wind that might take 25,000 acres the same right number for solar that takes some smaller amount? It's, we're regulating things based on what their output is and what they create, instead of regulating things on what's their effect on people. We've got the same four criteria in this chapter. If you look, I think it's at subsection 23. The same four criteria are applied by the Public Utilities Commissioners to any project, whether it's a high-pressure oil pipeline, high-pressure gas pipeline, wind farm, solar farm, gas plant, coal plant. Those four factors I'm submitting to you, and I'm getting far afield, Mr. Chairman, I know that. Those four factors are the same no matter what. I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure that's right-sizing regulation, so I appreciate your question, because that's where I'm at. Why are we doing this all the same?
Are you comfortable with that answer? Okay. Representative Skimmins.
Mr. Kenneke, am I understanding correctly that the bill as being presented probably is, those two areas are things that you could agree with, but it doesn't go far enough, and it still maintains too much regulation because of the lack of impact on the communities, so that the regulations that are still remain are too restrictive?
Mr. Chairman, that's essentially it. This is my 24th session. You get definitions sunk in the code like this by a prior act of the legislature, good luck getting that back out. This is your shot at right-sizing regulation, in my opinion. I've been around, I've sat at this table a lot of cold January mornings talking about regulation. And once that definition is in there at 100 megawatts, that's a heavy lift to get that back out and put in the right place. That's why I'm up here.
Additional questions before I let them go? Thanks to both of you for coming back up and answering some questions. And hopefully that clears things up, or just makes the water a little muddier, but we are back to the motion of due pass on Senate Bill 14. Are there any comments? Representative Milstead.
Could we defer this until we visit with some of the stakeholders in the counties?
I would prefer getting it done today. We've got time before we go to the floor. If it passes, we've got time. We can hold the Senate bill until the last week of session if we have to. I would prefer getting it out of committee, because we're going to be flooded here in the next couple of weeks with bills. And I think we've got time, and I think we got enough information to make a decision one way or another. I'd ask the committee to, you know, make their decision. Representative Gosch.
You know, I just really quick comment here. This bill, straightforward, sat down, read it last night. Looked like we're adding solar energy into a definition to define it, separate it from other things, which I think is the correct thing to do. A lot of questions were brought up that were good. Take it from an individual that has been in the middle of the local fights on wind energy in particular. I did not interject a political view in either of those fights. I just wanted to be a resource to the individuals that were involved in it. And I can confirm that that's a zoning thing. I mean, if they have zoning commissions, that's how it's going to be dealt with, just like wind energy is now. If they don't have zoning commissions, I would like to, on the record, recommend that if they want local control, they take a look at their zoning ordinances. And it doesn't have to be pro or against. It's something that if they want the control, that they need to look at that. But again, that's an option for these local individuals. So I think it's right to throw this definition out there and get it into statute. So I'd encourage you to vote green on this.
Further comments before we give a second one to Representative McCleary? Seeing none, Representative McCleary.
Thank you very much. I think we're getting a little bit blown out of proportion here. This is still going to go to county commissioners. They're still going to take a look at it. You're still going to get an informational meeting from the PUC, just like they do with wind towers. So all that's going to be digested, and it's all going to come out, whether you're in favor of it or against. This is, there again, this is a way different attitude than a power plant or wind towers. Way different. Thank you.
And with that, the question in front of us is due pass on Senate Bill 14. We're going to take the vote on this. Just to remind you, if, you know, we got some time on this. If we pass it and it goes to the floor, we got time to discuss. If it dies here, we can always resurrect it later. But I think we should make an action on this one way or another today. So the question is, do pass on Senate Bill 14. All in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Lake.
Pass.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
No.
Ms. Skimmins.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Nay.
Weiss.
Nay.
Willardson.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Back to Lake.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye. Have an affirmative vote of 9-4 affirmative vote. Senate Bill 14 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation placed on the debate calendar. Representative McCleary, can you cover that on the floor? You made that motion to due pass pretty quick there. Representative Gosh, can you cover it in our caucus, please? And with that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the committee today, Representative Lake was not here, but we've done a pretty good job here the past couple of weeks. We've got a few bills that have come in, but we don't need to start really jumping on them yet, the Senate bills. We're going to get flooded next week, today and next week, with other bills. So we're taking Monday off. You can sleep in and drive in from Gettysburg Monday morning, Representative Lake. Just no dilly-dallying in Oneida. Yeah. Representative Lake, you got a comment.
I would have appreciated the next Monday off because I'll be celebrating the Super Bowl victory, and I might need an extra day on the following
Packers
Monday.
Are not in the Super Bowl. Sorry. Okay, with that, Representative Beal.
So move.
Representative Beal.
I move we adjourn.
We have a motion, Representative Beal, to adjourn, and that's seconded by Representative Perry. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.
Adjourned.